Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Words.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
How did we get here? A new book looks at the recent history of immigration politics in the U.S. and offers some stinging criticism of the current situation. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. For the past quarter of a century, journalist Pilar Marrero has been covering the politics of immigration. Pilar is the senior political writer for La Opinión, the Spanish-language daily in Los Angeles. She's also a former Feet in Two Worlds reporting fellow. Pilar's new book is called Killing the American Dream: How Anti-Immigration Extremists Are Destroying the Nation. The book offers a history of immigration politics from the mid-1980s until today. Pilar, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. Glad to be here.
Pilar, you start the book with Ronald Reagan's 1986 immigration reform law. That was certainly not the first effort to establish immigration policy and law in this country. Why begin there?
Because I wanted to show how differently Republicans talked about the issue of immigration in 1980. Basically, I looking for documentation for my book, I stumbled into this YouTube video, which is the magic of YouTube, of this debate, the Republican primary back in 1980, where Ronald Reagan was competing with George H.W. Bush with the for the Republican nomination. And they are asked a question in a debate about what to do about the illegal immigration that was coming into the country and about the children of those immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. And the answers they give in that debate, and you can look it up yourself and see it, are so different from the rhetoric that we hear today from politicians, especially in the Republican Party and sometimes even in the Democratic Party.
So what were the differences?
Well, you know, you hear, for example, the first one to talk is George H.W. Bush, and he says basically, well, you know, the problem here is that we need this labor and we are making it illegal. And it is wrong because we're not only creating problems for ourselves in getting the labor that we need, but we are creating problems for those families, and we are condemning those families and their descendants to a life that is not right, that is marginalized. And there's no way I want to see those people marginalized. Those are good people. Part of my family is Mexican. He starts talking about, you know, how, you know, his son is married to a Mexican. And then Ronald Reagan takes over and says, look, you know, I don't want to see labor stopped at a wall at the border. He was opposed to a wall at the border. And he said that we needed to understand why people are coming to this country and why we need them. And what we need to do is to make labor easy to cross the border back and forth so they can come work. And if they want, they can go back to their home country. So
you wanted to draw the distinction between the language that Republican candidates were using in that era in the mid-1980s and the way they're talking about immigration now.
Yes, when you compare the understanding that that Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush show in that debate about the issue of immigration to, for example, some of the debates we saw in the Republican primary in this current presidential election, the difference is shocking. There's an understanding there of what the economic and human costs are of blocking people at the border, of not getting the labor that we need. Nowadays, it's all about politics and who can sound harshest and who can put up the better idea for an immigration policy that is all about enforcement and has nothing to do with the economy, has nothing to do with humanness, has nothing to do with anything else.
So how would you characterize this history that you yourself have observed as a journalist and being an immigrant in this country over the past 25 years, from that time in the mid-1980s to today? How would you characterize the shift, the transformation that's occurred?
Well, it's important to point out that it's not the first time that this happens in the history of the United States. It seems that it's something that periodically we see in the politics of this country, where we are at the same time a country of immigrants that has benefited and has opened its arms to immigrants from all over the world. And at the same time, it has had a complex relationship with those immigrants. You can say that in the proud history of the United States, there's always a difference between previous immigrants, who are always seen as good and contributing to the country, and the present-day immigrants, of whatever time it was, that were considered bad. At some point, Germans were considered bad. At some point, the Irish were considered bad, or the Italian, or the Chinese, etc., etc. So it's not the first time this happens. But in the modern history of the United States, the last 25 years, I think, stand out as years that where politics of convenience have actually overridden any policy interest or any economic interest of the United States, and basically been used, the issue has been used by politicians who have killed the possibility of real reform, of really addressing the needs of the country, of really having an immigration system that not only works for the immigrants, but it works for the United States of America.
So by the politics or policy of convenience, you mean using immigration as a wedge issue to advance political careers, as opposed to addressing the issue in any kind of comprehensive way.
That's right. We always hear that the reason the Arizona law and all the other laws passed is because people were frustrated, the federal government was doing nothing about immigration, that's out of control. In reality, in my book, I detail several cases of how these personal ideas and these personal ambitions of different politicians and different people are actually the motivation for passing many of these laws. And you see it very clearly in the case of, for example, you know, the mayor of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Lou Barletta, whose story I tell in the book. You know, he was a mayor of a small town, Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Not a town that anybody has ever heard of before, except people who live there. And then he decided to use the issue of immigration, the fact that his little town population was changing and immigrants were coming in, and they started framing the immigrants as criminals and people who were bringing trouble into the area, and they passed an ordinance that it's still held up in the court somewhere. It's still being argued. I think it's going towards the United Supreme, the Supreme Court at this point. But this guy's political career took off after he became a national darling of the anti-immigrant movement. So now he's in Congress. And from a mayor of a small town to a congressman, that's a big leap. And it was basically all because of his anti-immigrant little ordinance that actually didn't go anywhere.
And what about on the Democratic side? I mean, we have record numbers of deportations of undocumented immigrants under the Obama administration. There was an immigration reform bill that was passed under the Clinton administration, which was highly restrictive. And yet Democrats continue to be seen by immigrant voters and by the public at large as the pro-immigrant party.
Yes, and I guess the reason of that is the comparison. I mean, the lesser of two evils, you might say. Democrats have been generally supportive of immigration reform, of the DREAM Act. When you've seen the votes in Congress supportive of any kind of reform, there's always a large number of Democrats that are supportive, and a very little number of Republicans who are supportive. So in terms of that, you're right. I mean, it's also an issue that has affected the Democrats, because at the time of Bill Clinton's presidency, remember, he was a new Democrat, and the whole politics of the country started moving to the right when the Democratic Party started moving to the center. and in some cases moving to the right. And so in the Bill Clinton administration, there was a real shift in national immigration policy because he knew that he was in trouble on so many levels during his first term. He was being attacked, he was being investigated, you know, he was having troubles of all kinds, and he needed some real policy changes to attract the center and to distract attention. And so he started working on the southern border, Operation Gatekeeper, and with Newt Gingrich leading the House of Representatives, passing some of the very restrictive immigration laws that we have to this day. So this has been an effort of both parties moving the issue to the right and to the political arena, rather than the policy. The policy reform that we actually need.
Pilar, toward the end of the book, you offer a warning. You say the current sustained attack launched in the mid-1990s on immigrants has been in effect for 15 years and could have decisive consequences for society as a whole, and particularly for Latinos. What are those consequences for Latinos that you see?
Well, the immigrant idea, or the immigrant stream, has always been to work hard to improve its situation so their kids can have a better life, and they move ahead in the world, they move ahead in the nation. What we are doing right now is taking a whole generation of immigrants and telling them they can't really move ahead. They have to be stuck where they are right now. Their kids cannot get those degrees, and if they get those degrees, they can't work. I mean, remember the whole discussion about the DREAM Act and about whether or not there should be some kind of work permit for kids who would benefit from the DREAM Act. We're still having political discussions about whether that's good or bad, and in the history of this country, there's always been a point where immigrants have been integrated, accepted, and legalized. I mean, there's been many amnesties in the past because this country has always recognized that the immigrants bring that energy, that productivity, and that brain power, and that working ethic that actually has made this country great. And what we're saying right now is, nope, you are going to be stuck there, and if we get our way, you're going to be either deported or you're going to self-deport and you're going to leave everything that you've done here. Keep in mind that most of these immigrants have been here for 10, 15, 20 years, and they're still undocumented. And so many, in many cases, they are parents of American citizens.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see what happens, and I know that you will continue to be watching very carefully this unfolding conversation and debate.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Pilar, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Pilar Marrero's new book is called Killing the American Dream, How Anti-Immigration Extremists Are Destroying the Nation. It's published by Palgrave Macmillan. The producers of the Feet in Two Worlds podcast are Jocelyn Gonzalez and Aaron Leaf. Thanks for listening. I'm John Rudolph.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation,
with additional support from the Cyrus Fund, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and WNYC, New York Public Radio.
This podcast was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV.
Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web.
We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or using the Stitcher Smart Radio app.
You can help by going to fi2w.org and clicking on the support button at the top of the page.